Ladies and gentlemen, a good morning to you. This is John Cameron Swayze in the NBC newsroom in New York. Following a meeting that lasted until nearly midnight, the Senate gets back to work this morning on European aid. We'll hear all about it in a direct report. In an election in Argentina, the communists are showing surprising strength. And on the lighter side, the sourdoughs are going to race again over the mighty White Pass in Alaska, just like they did back in 98. The full news in a moment. First, your announcer.
In your community, no matter where it may be, there is always one agency that stands ready to serve you. Its name is the American Red Cross. Have you ever stopped to consider the many valuable services the Red Cross performs in your hometown? First of all, there are the nursing services, which consist of public health nursing along with other related activities. Then there is a nutrition service to promote and maintain the family health. After that, there are various safety services. And last, there is the volunteer special services for young and old alike. This month, the American Red Cross is appealing to you so that these services may be retained as a part of your community program. So won't you give, and give generously. Now back to the NBC newsroom.
The communists are showing surprising strength in the rural areas of Argentina this morning as votes are counted following the South American nation's congressional election. There is no indication that the showing of strength will have any immediate effect on the government. President Perón's candidates seem assured of maintaining their majority, and it doesn't even appear likely that the communists will win any seats. Nevertheless, the trend is not one to overlook. Heretofore, the communists have made no such showing as they are in this race, particularly in the rural sections. The Argentina election was held on Sunday, but the counting of the votes is a slow process, and a big percentage of them remain to be tallied. It will be interesting to note how the communists fare when the figures are completed, since the result will be one indicator of their strength in one of the large nations of the Southern Hemisphere. This morning, the demand made by Chile that the United Nations investigate the communist coup in Czechoslovakia looms large with possibilities. An east-west showdown could result. When Chile came forward with the demand that Czechoslovakian charges be acted upon, it was the move required to force the UN to pull the Czech petition out of the pigeonhole to which it had been sidetracked. The Security Council has scheduled the case for next Wednesday. Let's note that Chile, in making the demand for the investigation, charged that methods similar to those of Nazi Germany are being used by one UN member state against another, and that the extent and the magnitude of the plans of the USSR stand revealed. Chile has placed Russia in the role of a defendant before the world, and may have opened the way for an airing of conditions in one part of Soviet-bossed Eastern Europe. The United States has been cautious about comment, but strong U.S. support for the Chilean move is anticipated. There is, of course, one possibility which would forestall any far-reaching investigation. Russia may decide to simply get up and walk out. Overseas today, two columns of Jewish fighters are reported to have launched an attack on a village in the northern part of Palestine, the area where the Arab leader Fawzi Bey has proclaimed martial law. The scene of action is north of Nazareth, and the Jewish columns are made up of about 100 men each. Surprisingly, casualties have been light. Just for the record, we have a new total on deaths by violence in Palestine since November 29th, the date partition was decided upon. 1,675 have been killed. Late word from Greece reports that a severe battle is now underway between government troops and a force of nearly 1,000 guerrillas. There has arrived within the hour an announcement by the U.S. military chief in Greece, Major General James Alward Van Fleet, that a speed-up of delivery of light and heavy weapons to Greek government forces is now underway. So much for the moment from the newsroom in New York. Let's get our news from correspondents abroad. First, word of a political bombshell from Leon Pearson in Paris.
A political bombshell has been dropped in Paris. It has caused consternation in the camp of the communists on the left and the Gaullists on the right. But it has brought warm satisfaction to the people in the middle who would like to save the present government from collapse. The bombshell was dropped by René Plevin, who was formerly de Gaulle's Minister of Finance. But I learned this morning that de Gaulle had no knowledge of what Plevin was doing and does not approve it now. Plevin proposed that all the non-communist parties should join together to prevent the governmental crisis, which he said the communists so ardently desire. He said the RPF, which is de Gaulle's party, should join with the socialists and that all should support Premier Schuman, who came awfully close to being defeated in the last vote of confidence. Today's reactions to Plevin's proposal reveal two very interesting points. First, the communists reject the idea because they seek the overthrow of the government. Second, de Gaulle rejects the idea for the same reason. That's the strange paradox of French politics. De Gaulle, bitterly anti-communist, desires the same thing as the communists, namely the fall of the government. The communists want to overthrow the government, hoping that a reorganized government would include them. They've been on the outside looking in since last May. Plevin wants to save the government so as not to fall into the communist trap. Meantime, the communists are apparently trying to provoke a crisis by outside pressure. The communist-controlled Labor Federation has called a protest strike of 30,000 coal miners, which may be the beginning of the spring offensive. This is Leon Pearson in Paris.
Next, a wrap-up of late news from England, reported by Merrill Muller in London.
While England basked in early summer weather, the British nation rushed off to a weekend of sports today, throwing aside the weighty cares of the world, which stared at them from every newspaper and blared at them from every radio. The flat racing season opens this afternoon with the famous Lincolnshire Handicap, and 11 special train loads of racing fans whistled and screamed out of London at an early hour this morning. With no pleasure motoring, the railroads of all the east and south counties are overloaded today with sports specials headed for racetracks and football fields. The Lincoln this year is going to look more like a subway rush in Times Square than a colorful epic of the flat course. There are 61 starters on a track built for only 45 horses. It's no gag that the race stewards are asking for volunteers for a second row at the starting gate. But perhaps the basis of this weekend festive spirit is the good editorial reaction to the new five-power military and economic alliance of Western Europe and the Chilean charge at the United Nations Security Council against Russia over Czechoslovakia. The average Englishman this morning has a new feeling toward this international situation, that at last the Western nations are beginning to do something about the communist menace. The American Senate's refusal to cut the Marshall Aid program last night was the final hypodermic of happiness for today's comment. Best proof of the effectiveness of this new five-power Western agreement is the way the British communists are howling this morning, loud and long. This is Merrill Muller in London.
News from Germany this morning. To tell us about it, come in Ed Hocker in Berlin.
Item by item today, the first American friendship train for Germany arrived in Frankfurt this morning. Down in Erfurt in the Russian zone, hundreds of cases of typhoid are reported and some have died. Here in Berlin, we hear that Max Schmeling, the old heavyweight boxer, now admitting he's 42, wants to go to the States for another fight. And as a follow-up to yesterday's American denunciation of Russia's Gestapo methods in Germany, top-flight Germans today are doing the same. It's about time, says one highly placed German, that the Russian occupation officials adopt Middle European methods of humanity if they want to live with us. And one morning newspaper states editorially that Berliners don't need an explanation of what NKVD stands for. It's just a copy of the Nazi methods. It's interesting to note in connection with this German denunciation of Russia that the numerous non-communist parties here are discovering a greater degree of unity in their hatred of communism than they ever did in their love for Germany. Meanwhile, there's dissension among Americans in Germany. 2 days ago, officials of the decartelization branch of military government were given a verbal order to halt the breaking up of those big German cartels, firms, many of them whose influence was worldwide. What does this mean, they demanded to know. Why are we here? Now, just 5 minutes ago, comes the reply from General Clay. There is no change in our decartelization policy, says the general, all of which adds up to a very, very muddled picture. This is Ed Hawker in Berlin.
Home again, and for some of the most important news of the day, we go to our nation's capital to hear from Arthur Barrio in Washington.
Today, the Senate stands ready to send American dollars into the fight against communism. Debate starts again at noon. There'll be amendments to hash over, but the big obstacle is behind. The Senate jumped that one when it pinned a crushing defeat on Senator Taft's proposal that we clip $1.3 billion from the Marshall Plan figures. The vote came late last night. 56 senators decided we should put up $5.3 billion for first-year funds. Only 31 said no. So now Senator Connally predicts the bill will be passed by tonight. Connally says the plan's worth the gamble even if we contribute only a little bit to world peace. Taft claims the program's economically unsound, but he thinks we should take a chance because we're playing for high stakes when we gamble against the spread of communism in Europe. However, a Senate vote today won't end matters. We still have to see what the House decides. But the Republican leadership has circled April 10th on the congressional calendar. It hopes that by that date, the Marshall Plan will no longer be a thing of words, but instead a plan of action. It knows, too, that on April 18th, Italy has elections, and that Italy also has communists. The Senate's also looking forward to another vote, this one perhaps next week, and it hopes to get the House to see eye to eye on its plan to cut taxes by $4.7 billion. The House wants to clip them by $6.5 billion. Men like Senator Byrd of Virginia want the House to agree to the smaller figure because it might make it easier to override any presidential veto, and Byrd is looking ahead. Otherwise, this morning, the House is getting ready for a slam-bang battle over rent controls, the big issue being a plan to give local boards full power to raise rents or to remove rent ceilings. And troubles are piling up for General Benny Myers. He's to be sentenced Monday on a charge of getting a business associate to lie to a Senate committee. But he still faces income tax fraud charges in Baltimore and Dayton, a slander suit, a possible Army court-martial, and a $10,000 legal claim. This is Arthur Barrio in Washington.
Some of the political news of the morning comes from points other than Washington. Henry Wallace, in commenting on the situation in Greece, says President Truman is the best salesman communism ever had, and that statement is, of course, a direct and verbatim quotation of Wallace's remark as reported by the Associated Press. He based the blast on a Greek situation, which he described as very bad, with a quarter of that nation unemployed and the economy virtually unimproved, despite huge expenditures of money by the United States. James A. Farley spoke in Albany, New York, and though his prepared remarks dealt chiefly with his opposition to a third political party, he commented informally that it's an unfortunate thing that this is an election year because too many people are thinking first of politics. Said Farley, who wins isn't as important as seeing that the men charged with responsibility do their duty regardless of politics. A rather surprising prediction was made overnight in Chicago by Warren Wright, the banker who is organizing the national drive for the candidacy of General MacArthur. He said that if the Republicans do not nominate MacArthur, then the Democrats will nominate General Eisenhower. You figure that one out. Meanwhile, all political news about MacArthur, no matter what kind, has disappeared from the Army newspaper Stars and Stripes and the Armed Forces Radio in Japan. The MacArthur staff made the decision. However, on direct orders of the general, the Japanese press is to be allowed to carry any and all political attacks upon him. More news in just a moment. Meantime, your announcer.
Young lady, would you be interested in a career which offers splendid opportunities for advancement? If so, then train to be a nurse. You see, there is a constantly increasing demand for nurses. Hospitalization plans, health and preventive programs have created new jobs, new careers, and more opportunities for advancement. In addition, today's student nurse receives a professional education at far less than the cost of 4 years at college. And if she's an ex-servicewoman, the GI Bill of Rights will entitle her to extra benefits. Therefore, if you are under 35, a high school or college graduate, you are eligible to apply for admittance to nearly any one of the nearly 1,300 accredited schools of nursing. Your local hospital will tell you more about it, how you can begin training for the ideal career. So contact your local hospital now. And remember, nursing is a proud profession. Now once again, back to the NBC newsroom.
The Red Cross has announced that certain dairy interests are threatening to withdraw their support unless the Red Cross recalls a pamphlet which says oleomargarin is okay as a butter substitute. In Denver, Colorado, National Farmers Union leaders have asked farmers to keep livestock off the market and thus support the strike of the CIO packing house workers set for Tuesday. Skagway, Alaska. As a part of Skagway's summer-long Golden Jubilee, cash instead of gold nuggets will be the prize in a race for sourdoughs over the 2,400-foot White Pass. It was over this pass that they had to go back in the gold rush of 98, and there wasn't everyone that could make it. Of course, this time the race will be in summer instead of winter, which will make quite a difference. That's the story, folks. I'm glad we could get together. This is John Cameron Swayze saying goodbye from the NBC newsroom in New York.
This is NBC, the national broadcasting company.